good evening. Welcome to this is day 8. Okay, so we're more than halfway through. Glory to God. We're more than halfway through. In Luke chapter 24, we're looking at our authority in his name. The word authority is often translated as rights and privileges. So, does the believer have rights and privileges that he can exercise in the name of Jesus? And in this teaching, because Philemon verse 6 says, "At the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." So we know that something about grace and peace is multiplied to us through knowledge, which is that same word, acknowledging. True knowledge, that is true precise knowledge, precise information. As 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus, of God and Jesus our Savior." So there's something about the grace, that's the ability of God finding greater expression in our lives through precise knowledge. That means many times what hinders the flow of the authority and the ability of God within us is the posture of our minds. And so we're taking a stroll through the Holy Scriptures. We're taking a stroll through what God has accomplished, what he gave to us as an inheritance, that is so potent for him, so to speak, not to have to physically appear every time that we gather, yet ever present. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go away." And for disciples who have been with him for 3.5 years, that didn't seem to make sense. I mean, there's nothing better than having God in a man. God in the flesh. God is with us as one of us. This is scripture fulfilled. But Jesus was trying to show them that that is the first leg of the scripture fulfilled. There's another phase of the scripture that will fulfill. And until that phase is fulfilled, it is not to your advantage. So in John 16:7, when Jesus was trying to tell them, remember, he has been teaching. So part of the teaching was, it's expedient for you, or it's to your advantage that I go away. And again, in normal English language, when you hear going away, you think of a departure. But the people he's talking to have been listening to him previously. Again, we say, when you're reading your Bible, don't let the chapters and verses define context for you. Read the way you read complete thoughts. Only stop when the thought is complete. Whatever was said in chapter 14 was reemphasized in chapter 15 using different illustrations, was again further reemphasized in chapter 16. So when it says, "It's expedient for you that I go away," that wasn't the first time he was using the phrase "go away." He just brought more clarity. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So now he has personalized the Comforter. But that was the same thing he was saying previously in chapter 14. In chapter 14 from verse 1, "You believe in God," which is the same thing as "you believe the testimony of the scriptures." Now, believe also what? In me. Or your believing God should translate to you believe in me, since I'm the fulfillment of the testimony of scriptures in my Father's house. So when you're reading, don't read in an isolated manner. If they were the audience of Jesus, right from John chapter 2, when they came to John the Baptist and he told them, "That's the Lamb of God," and they left John and started following Jesus, that means they were the same audience that were present when he was teaching the woman by the well in John chapter 4. Look at John chapter 4. I want you to see the build-up, because again, don't let chapters separate. It's a consistent teaching. The teaching is not different, different illustration, different words. Another aspect is emphasized. In John chapter 4 verse 20, see what it says. John chapter 4 verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." When the woman said "you say," it was referring to the scriptures. "You Jews say," Okay, so Jesus is about to say something phenomenal to the woman, because you Jews, you are a Jew, and this is what you Jews affirm. Okay, and you say that it's in Jerusalem that men ought to worship. But look at what Jesus said next. But Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet what at Jerusalem worship who? So can you see the subtle switch from you Jews say in Jerusalem is where you ought to worship God? Then Jesus moved from God to the Father. Can you see the switch? Can you see the switch? So by introducing the Father, he's about to open the scriptures to her. The reason why you think God should be worshipped in a location is because you have never seen God as Father. But if you understand fatherhood concept, the limitation in comparing God to a human father is that a human father passes on his genes to you, but is separate from you. But the concept of God as Father is that he doesn't just pass on genes, he lives in you to father you. He lives in you to father you. His presence in you is his fatherhood to you. In human fatherhood, the genes of the father is passed on, but the father stands separate from you. Somebody gave birth to him, the person stands separate from him, so he continues. But God is his own genes. So he is in us to father us by himself with his own presence. It's not that he created you and is separate. To be a new creation means to be the father dwells in me as a new creation. Now, if the Father dwells in you, the concept of this mountain or Jerusalem cannot be true worship. If the Father dwells where? In you. It means wherever you are, true worship takes place. And true worship is the Father and his sons. There's a new company on the earth, Father and Co. Father and Sons Co. and Co. Father and Sons. That's the company we belong to. Hallelujah. So Jesus was bringing certain clarity. He says, look at the next verse, verse 22. You worship, you know not what. We know who we worship, for salvation, according to the older scriptures, will come through the lineage of the Jews. Well, look at the next verse. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers, when you say the word true, it's not the opposite of a lie. The word true there simply means reality. So there are people who worship in the shadows, or the type of worship that was done in the temple was permitted, but it was not true worship. Because true worship doesn't have to do with where you worship, it has to do with the constitution of who worships. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. True worship is not a function of where you worship, it's a function of who is worshiping. So it says, when the true worshippers shall worship Father, how? In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Again, don't let the English translation through you. To seek such doesn't mean Father has been searching. No. That word simply means he is the one who spoke about it. He is therefore the one who will bring it to pass. He is the only one that can bring forth what? True worshippers. Hallelujah. Say with me, salvation is the Father's plan, executed by the Son, enjoyed by me. But salvation, which is redemption, is Father's plan. Hallelujah. That's important. So the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the Father is the one who orchestrated, who spoke it, who will make it a reality. So the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers, who will make men true worshippers? The Father. The Father. So where does it which open to before? I first said Luke, then I said John. Isn't it? Okay, so let's go back to John. Look at John 20, verse 17. What was he talking about? John 20, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, that's to Mary, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them. Notice, go to my brethren and say unto them. This is what you should say, declare unto them. Now, this is a reality that's about to take place, but say to them, I ascend unto my Father. By extension, your Father. To my God. By extension, what? Your God. So when the woman stood before Jesus, she was a witness of his resurrection. But Jesus is about to do something that the woman cannot be a witness of. She can only have revelation of. He's about to ascend. So we said yesterday that the ascension is a product of the resurrection. They are not the same event. If all Jesus did was to rise from the dead, the implication of that resurrection is seen in what that resurrection offers, which is the ascension. Should I say that again? If Jesus simply rose from the dead and there was no ascension, the plan of redemption is still not fulfilled. Are your sins forgiven? Yes. Is the plan fully fulfilled? No. Chapter 4, it spoke about true worshippers. You are still not a true worshipper. Because under the Old Testament, men had their sins forgiven. But they didn't have their sins purged. That's two different things. Hallelujah. That's two different things. Sins forgiven and sins purged are not the same. To be forgiven means it's pardoned, but the nature remains the same. To be purged means both the sin and the nature is gone. There's a difference. And that couldn't be accomplished until the ascension. So we're going to look, because we're looking at the authority that we have in the name. What the name means, which has to do with his reputation, his accomplishment, what he accomplished. So when we speak about the resurrection, there were physical eyewitnesses. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. So this woman, we see this witness said, this woman saw him. This Jesus, as God raised up, whereof we are all what? Witnesses. This is Peter also testifying, I am a witness. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. You kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are what? Witnesses. Can you see that again? We are also witnesses. Acts 4, 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was where? Upon them all. Acts 10, 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was what? Ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He commanded us, who is us? The eyewitnesses of his what? Resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above what? 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are what? Say, saints only sleep. Saints don't die. The reason why the Bible uses the word sleep for saints is because they will wake up. Okay, so the minute you understand this, you will cry less. I know you will cry because you miss your loved ones, but you will be overcome with much sorrow because you know they will wake up. Just like you don't cry when somebody goes to bed, bye bye, good night. You will not start crying. Hey, this one you are going. Why are you going? Stay here. So the sleep we have now. Okay, why do we sleep at night? To what? Rest the body. So the person that has fallen asleep in Christ, what has he gone to do? Rest. Why will you sorrow about somebody who is resting? And you are not resting. You are still toiling and laboring. He is resting. His works have gone ahead of him. He will receive his reward. You are still in the race. Let me say that race, but the race. You know? So, if we have the Bible perspective, we will demystify death. Death is no longer our boss. It's now a horse we ride into glory. Glory to God. All right, so he said, he was seen above Bible, of whom the greater part remained unto his some. After that, he was seen of James. This James is the brother of Jesus, the biological brother of Jesus. Okay? Then of all the apostles, that means they saw him again. And last of all, he was seen aware of me also. Can you see that? So Paul was saying that I too. How did Paul see him? In the spirit, in visions? So there was that testimony, eyewitness. That was essential to the gospel. They had to be able to say, we have proof that he's risen. We saw him. We ate with him. So there was the eating. It was not a fluke. That was why it was not a spiritual vision. They saw him literally, physically. He appeared. He had fish with them. They touched him. They handled him. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. John said, peace. Look at what John said in verse 1. That which was from the beginning. So that's prophecy now. That's from Genesis. Which we have heard. So we first heard about it. Then which we have seen. So we witnessed it. We saw. What is that statement? If you go back to John's gospel, the word became flesh. Hallelujah. Do you understand now? Which we first had, then we saw. What does it mean to see? To behold. We behold his glory. The glory as of the only God and Father, full of what? Grace. And that grace is the truth. So he says, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have what? Handled of the word of life. You can say that. You are not there. They can say that. Now, pay attention to what I'm about to say. Imagine all this, which was crucial and necessary as part of the gospel. There must be physical witnesses of his resurrection. But the resurrection is not just a goal. The resurrection is a means to an end. The end is the ascension. So Jesus now is saying something crucial. So go back to that John chapter 16 and verse 7. We're looking at our authority in this thing. See what he now says now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send. So again, a surface reading looks like this. This is where people got replacement theology from. Jesus cannot be here, the Spirit will be here. The Old Testament is the tenure of the Father. And yet, he wasn't called Father in the Old Testament, except by Moses in an indirect way. Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. That is Moses trying to tell you that God has always been a Father. He has always had fatherhood in mind. Because after image, after our likeness is exactly like us. That's not Adam. So you won't find that word used frequently for God in there. So when he's telling you now that if I go not the way, the comforter will not come, if I depart. So people are saying if he goes, he will not come. If he doesn't go, he will not come. No. The language is not that way. That's a literal reading. You read what has he been saying before. He can't say something different. So it's to your advantage means the going away is where the benefit of my resurrection really is. I am risen. You can see me. But the benefit of what I'm going to really do is not something you can see with your natural eyes until the eyes of your understanding is what? Enlightened. Glory to God. Can you see that? So, the ascension is a spiritual reality of the resurrection. The resurrection, a physical reality, has a spiritual implication. That implication is the ascension. Why did it 40 days? It should take 40 days. Because whatever you thought before you went to the cross is now about to be fulfilled. And even when it was fulfilled, they were seeing him and they couldn't relate with the fulfillment. What did he do? He moved out of their line of vision. So they could see him as he really is inside of them. Look at Acts chapter 1. Let's read from verse 1. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost, he did what? He gave commandments. He had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. How do you give commandments through the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost was in them. Their understanding was quickened by the Holy Ghost in them. That's how he gave commandments through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was in them. Did they realize the Holy Ghost was in them? They were yet to realize. He was teaching them so they could realize. So, again, let me say it this way. Spiritual realities are not understood by feelings. If they acknowledge his resurrection because they saw and they heard, and yet the ascension, which is the goal of resurrection, was only realized by revelation, not by seeing or hearing. That means they now left the physical senses and their spiritual senses were awakened to see what it was. If it was so for them, it is also so for us. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. How many of us would like Jesus to appear to us? Raise your hand, be sincere. Be sincere. When he appears, what would you like him to say? Someone says, just say anything. Just say anything. Anything. What if he just says, my daughter? He's very happy. There is nothing he will say that he hasn't said in his word. Actually, that's the truth. He cannot appear to you and say more than he has said in his word. He will only appear to reaffirm what he has said in his word. So appearing to you is not superior to what he has done. It's not. It's not. At all, it's not. And we need to really understand that. Which is why it's not advisable for a believer to start praying for visions. Don't. Do visions belong to you? Yes. Will you have spiritual visions? Yes. Will you have spectacular ones? That's not a must. When you have divinely granted appearances, again, that's not a must. There's always a purpose for those things. So if there is no reason for them, then you won't need them or have them. In other words, you will make much more progress with the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know what is Jehovah's calling. And you are familiar with the exceeding greatness of his power. Sometimes I find it difficult to share with saints and believe ministers that thing that God told you by the still small voice, that inward witness that was used to witness to you about the particular thing that God wanted you to do, is as strong as Jesus appearing to you. My sheep know my voice, is the one that said so. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. Have you been here before? A major thing or a major phase began in your life by obeying that seemingly small prompting, a major phase, and you're just wondering, what if I disobeyed? And it was this major, and it was that seemingly small. Hallelujah. That's why when it comes to ministry, your personal walk with the Lord greatly enhances your effectiveness. When it comes to ministry, your personal walk with the Lord greatly enhances your effectiveness in ministry. Greatly enhances. I'm not just saying that, I have scripture for it. That's why Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Verse 18, upon my servants and my handmaidens, he first sees you as a son and a daughter. Because you have yielded, you are now my servant, you are my what? Handmaiden. That means, don't lose your place as a son. We walk with him as sons. We yield to him as servants. And that word doesn't mean something many. It simply means to serve his purposes. It's the understanding you have as a son that makes you a willful servant, a willing servant. Somebody says, what does that mean? Oh, you are so in tune with his plans that you cannot but say, wherever you say to go, Lord, I will go. I can see what you are seeing. We're seeing with the same eyes. I understand why you are calling me brethren now. Where do you say to go, I will go now. That's the goal of sonship. A mature son takes over the responsibility of the father's business. The world calls him a servant. The father sees him as, that's my son. My beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Who said that? God. How will Jesus fulfill that mandate as a servant? How is God looking at him? As my son. This is my son means the one that is willing and obedient, that's my son. That's my true son. In carrying doubt, he will do it as a servant. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? It's just a thin line, but you need to understand it. We fellowship in him as sons. We carry out his will and purpose as servants. So as son, you have light and revelation. And as a servant, you carry out what he has shown you. Glory to God. So where are we now? Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Okay. Until then was taken up. So notice, he through the Holy Ghost had given what? Commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He gave commandment. How? By the Holy Ghost. So go back to John 16, verse 7. See, I'm taking my time. It's good, isn't it? Good. So line up online now so that we can get it very clearly. Hallelujah. So, I tell you, it's expedient or necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him. So let's break that down. If I go not away, what is the going away? It is the death on the cross. It is a burial. Then to the resurrection. And the going away is not a departure, it's an arrival. I will go away in order to come to you. Differently from my incarnation, I will come back to you in my resurrection. If I come to you in my resurrection, you will see me physically and attest that I'm risen from the dead. Then I will be in you in the ascension, which is the Comforter in you. Glory to God. So let's take that again. If I go away, I will come, first of all, in my resurrection, for which you'll be physical witnesses. But where am I going? If I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, so the departure is a journey from the cross to the grave, from the grave all the way into the ascension. The ascension and the Comforter are one and the same. If I depart, I will send. So departure is a figure of speech for what he will accomplish by death, burial, resurrection, which will be fully seen in resurrection. Because in his physical resurrection, in ascension, in his physical resurrection, you can see him, but in ascension, you cannot see him. You can only see his function and what he has accomplished in ascension. Glory to God. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. That's what for dwelling place. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So notice, I go. If I go not away, I go to prepare a place. John 6, 7. If I go not away, the comforter will not come. But this one, I go to prepare. So here, you put this side by side with John chapter 16, verse 7. If I go not away, where are you going to? I go to prepare a place. Look at the next verse. And if I go and prepare a place, that is not a conditional statement. Since I'm going to prepare a place, notice, for you, I will come again, I will receive you unto myself. Now, here is where the use of words is very crucial. The word prepare here, there are two words usually used for that word prepare. There's external preparation, which is where the concept of maybe God is constructing a mansion for me in heaven comes from. But the word he uses here is for an internal work. That internal work implies the construction is going to take place inside you. So my journey from the cross to the grave to my resurrection will be finally accomplished when I construct a mansion, or let me say it better, I'll make you a mansion from the Father. Glory to God. That's the ascension. Let me say it another way. When we hear ascension, we think of a throne, yes or no? You think of a throne. Okay, so we see ascension simply means, where's Jesus right now? Where's Jesus right now? Where's Jesus? According to scripture, where is he right now? Is it correct? Where is Jesus right now? Are the Father's right hand? Where's Father's right hand? Okay, where's Father's right hand? The true worshippers worship Father how? In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such. So who makes a man a true worshipper? The Father. Okay, so how does a man become a true worshipper? The Father will live where? That our comment and now is, when you shall neither in this mountain, nor Jerusalem, worship the Father. Those who worship, worship in spirit and in truth. So in spirit and truth means the way the Father wants it to be, based on what he has accomplished, the way it really is. How is Father? He's a spirit. You can never worship a spirit in a physical building, since you cannot see him. Physical building is for things you can see. But to worship in spirit and in truth means you are worshiping in faith. The one you know is present, but you cannot see physically. So you can see him, yet you cannot see him. Somebody says, how do I see him? I see him in the light of scriptures. So I'm able to worship him. And there's evidence that is in me by the language he has given me to worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You've never seen the Holy Ghost, but you speak in tongues. So you have been worshiping in spirit and in truth all this while because you have never seen. How many of you have seen the Holy Ghost before? You also say, hello, I'm the Holy Ghost. You will move. You just move. Forget about all those kind of good money, Holy Spirit. Forget about those ones. It's always not wise for you to use your experience to teach doctrine. You will mess up. You will mess up. Because sometimes you have to grow. And when you grow, whatever you thought you heard or you saw, your interpretation is better as you grow. So wisdom is, don't be too quick to share a vision when you know you are still growing. Don't be too quick. Because the more you understand scriptures and the eyes of understanding is enlightened, you will discover that you make adjustments and you correct along the way. There are people that you teach God's word and they were telling you, God said, after you finish teaching, oh, that couldn't be God. The young man, no, that wasn't God speaking. How did they know the light of the truth entered? They changed their position. That wasn't God. Something spoke to me, but it wasn't God. Because this is what God can say. This is what God can say. And this thing that I heard, God can say so. Glory to God. God can say so. So that's why the word is superior to people's experiences. And an experience should affirm the word and not the other way around. If an experience doesn't affirm the word, you throw away the experience and you stay with the word. You stay with the word. Glory to God. So go back to that. John chapter 14. See what it says. Verse 3. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. That's resurrection. And receive you unto myself. So that what? Where I am, there you may be also. Jesus, where exactly are you? So notice, look at verse 9. Let's go further. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you? And yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has what? Seen me, hath seen the Father. How seest thou then? Show us the Father. Look at the next verse. Believest thou not that where? I am where? In the Father. And the Father where? In me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. But I thought that when John spoke about his baptism, he said, I saw the Spirit descending upon him. But Jesus is saying, the Father that dwelleth in me. But what descended upon him in John chapter 1? Is it not the Spirit? But if it's the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. But we can't see the Father. He said, yes, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Now look at the next 26. Look at verse 11. Believing that while I'm where? In the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very works' sake. Jump to chapter 17, verse 20. Need I pray I for this alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their testimony or through their word. See what it says? It says, that they all may be one, as thou Father. Notice the oneness. How will they be one? As thou Father art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have what? Sent me. Glory to God. Can you see the one that he's talking about? So when he's teaching in chapter 14, I am the Father is in me. What are you talking about? We are inseparable. The Spirit that dwells in me is the Father dwelling in me. The works that you see is Father is doing the works, even though he's doing it through me. So that where I am, they may be also means that you and I may be one with the Father. Let me say that way. I mean, you get that? Yeah. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So listen carefully. So if you think about prepare a place, if you were to interpret it as a word that means I will go and construct a place for you to come into, that's an external preparation. But if the word, which in the Greek is etumazo, which is internal preparation, which is if I go to prepare, the place I will prepare is inside you. How are you sure it's inside me? I just told you now. The Father that dwelleth in me, I dwell in the Father, and the Father dwells in me. So if I'm going to bring you to where I am, I will have to make you the Father's dwelling place. That is the preparation. Glory to God. And that is the work of the ascension. No wonder, according to Satan's plan, men believe God is everywhere except in them. Have you noticed that? He's in handkerchief. He's in oil. He's in mantle. He's even in water. The way they handle the handkerchief, once anointing oil, you cannot use to fry anything. It's oil. It's just oil. The Holy Ghost is not oil. In the Old Testament, oil was used to signify, listen carefully, not the Holy Ghost. It was used to symbolize the anointing, the enablement of the Spirit, not the Spirit. The Spirit is a person. The enablement is different. When they poured oil on people to ordain them, it was to illustrate that the ability of the Spirit is coming on them, but the oil is not the ability. I shared with you some time ago. This ring to the world says, I'm married. Unfortunately, I can wear it and not be. It could be a fashion ring. It's not. I'm just saying. That's to the world now. So, if this ring is meant to tell the world that I'm married, this ring is good for the world. This ring should not be the way I will know I'm married, or else I'm in trouble. The day it gets lost, I can confidently forget that I'm married. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So this ring can't be the way I know. Those who don't know who I am, those who don't know my status, those who don't know that I'm betrothed to a woman, wouldn't see this. Oh, okay, he's a married man. So this thing is not for me to know. The name of Jesus is not for the Father to know you are a son. It's for you to know that you are a son. So don't use it like ID card. Father, 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 in the name of Jesus. You have to look for interesting ways to even pronounce it. That's not the way to pronounce it. Let me go there. Jesus, precious, matchless, wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus. Okay, there's a way they pronounce it that makes it work. No, it's not talisman. It's not talisman. It's knowledge. Hallelujah. It's knowledge. I will come again and receive you to myself. That is the secret of the new creation. I will receive you to myself. Jesus, where are you? Because he said, where I am, where are you? I'm the Father's dwelling place. He that has seen me has seen the Father. What do you mean? Don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? If you don't believe my word, believe for the very work's sake. That is, can't you see the works that prove that I'm in the Father in me? And then Jesus began to pray in chapter 17, that they may be one as we are one. And as thou art in me and I am in you, that they may be one in... Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. He has made us one with the Father. He has made us one with the Father. Your shadow should heal the sick. Your words should reshape lives. Your prayer should change the course of history. That they may be one, even as we are one. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name. But now I've moved you away from thinking it's pronunciation or spelling. It's none of those things. It is what is in the name, what is behind the name. In the U.S., some years back, when God's servant was still very much alive, Lester Sumrall, they noticed pastors had increased flow of the things of the Spirit in their churches in the U.S. Demons were being cast out easily. People were getting healed easily. And some pastors who were wise and shy were like, okay, what's happening this Sunday morning? Like, God is very happy and excited. One of them who was in prayer, God told him, no, my servant Lester Sumrall is in town. And demons know his name. They know his name. Demons know he's around. That is, if the man has become a principality, it means he's radiating so much with the Father's presence. Demons are manifesting and they are submitting. Authority is around. You know, God so much in the ministry of what's the name of this man now? One of the healing revivalists. Sorry, not Jacko. There's one. Sorry, L. Something. Is it L? I forgot the name. A. Allen. That they will scare demons out by saying, I will call A. Allen, and demons will leave. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But we are here. When a man is crucified with Christ, so identified, there's almost no difference. Hallelujah. You know the mind of God. Say, God always wants to heal. Say, God always wants to heal. Say, there's no unwillingness on the Father's part to heal through His Son. In His Son, we have a blank check with respect to healing. Be healed right now. That's not a suggestion. Be healed right now. I said, be healed right now. Of every pain, of every discomfort, be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Be free from pain in your joints, in your marrow, in your blood, in your system, in your tissue, in your organs, in every part of your body. Be healed right now. Let this be the last night you experience any pain or discomfort in any part of your body in the name of Jesus. Your new year starts today. You walk in health. You walk in healing. You walk in wholeness. In the name of Jesus, your healing glorifies God. Your health glorifies the Father. You are sound in health. You walk in wholeness in body and mind. In the name of Jesus. Fear no longer has control over your mind. Your mind is free. No evil befalls you. No plague comes to your dwelling place. You are far from oppression. In the name of Jesus, for you will not fear. Your going forth is blessed. Your coming back is blessed. As you said that every single day, you are supernaturally shielded from harm and from evil. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we use the name, the Son Himself is present. So that where I am. So a sound believer who is meditating, think about it this way. That's why we don't ignore the incarnation. We only look at the gravity of the power at work in incarnation and put it side by side with Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of His power at work towards us according to the working of His mighty power which He accomplished in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So before He was raised up, seas were calm. Demons checked out. Sicknesses were kept at bay. Now that He's raised up, exceeding greatness. Where I am is where you are. I am where he is. I am in power. I am surrounded by power. There's power everywhere I look. I was born in power. I was brought into power. I live in power. I abide in power. I have enough power to keep every force of darkness at bay. I have enough power to turn around the events and situations around me. I have enough power to bring into subjection all the works of darkness. I have enough power to order the course of my life. Glory to God. There is enough power. There is enough power. Exceeding greatness of his power. That's the ascension. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. Verse 12, which you are more familiar with. John chapter 14, verse 12, we're familiar with. That was more common. John 14, verse 12. See what it says. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And what? Greater than this shall he do, because I do what? So is the going a departure or an arrival? Ah, glory to God. So when you are reading it, you will do greater because I will make my home with you. And the Father will come, who will make our abode with you. What is that abode? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm a mansion. I'm the Father's mansion. I'm Father's house now. The Father and the Son live in me by the Spirit that indwells me today. Glory to God. The only sickness I can resist the stretching forth of my hands is that which I resist the Father. I think that way now. I think that way now. I didn't make myself a son. He made me a son. Of his own will, he begat me with the word of truth. These hands heal the sick. These hands raise the dead. These hands cast out demons. I'm a master over demons. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have utterance at all times. I always know what to say. I flow in the things of the Spirit. Word of knowledge is my realm. Word of wisdom is in my environment. Visions are within my scope. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You've got to get to a point where you speak that way. He made that provision for us. Hallelujah. I see visions when necessary. They are part of my inheritance. They are in the Spirit and I am in the Spirit. Because I am of the Spirit. I am where visions are. Glory to God. Somebody says, what are you doing? I'm using the name. 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 And you can choose how to use the name. And when to use the name. As long as it's within the scope of what he has accomplished. Glory to God. This is November. This time next year, everyone I'm associated with and are yet to conceive, they have their children. This time next year, according to the time of life, your utterance is more powerful than that of the old prophets. Because where he is not where they were. Oh, you didn't hear me tonight. Where he is now is not where they were. But for you, where he is exactly where you are. You're not in a separate room, you're in the same room, the same office, the same standing, the same place. The same place. 2023. There is no month that I will not have abundance of provision. I do not lack for any good thing. Every single month, all I need is supplied unto me abundantly. Angels are working for me. They are causing good things to turn up at my doorstep. I do not struggle to have. I have abundance. I have a full supply. My bags are full. My account overflows. In the name of Jesus. I have enough for every good work. I have overflowing that I give to every necessary need. In the name of Jesus, I do not struggle. I walk with ease to 2023. I am a kingdom distributor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a year of abundance for me. Doors of increase are continually open unto me. 2023 is a sweet year for me. I see the Father's faithfulness from beginning to the very end. I'm celebrated all through. Woo! Glory to God. I do not lack jobs. My potential comes to life. I do not lack jobs. More opportunities. More avenues to work and to serve. They come my way. Therefore, provisions pursue me. Resources look for me. They know my name. They come towards me. I lack no good thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I lack no good thing. I lack no good thing. Hallelujah. I lack no good thing. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in the light of what I have done. Jesus, what did you do? Luke 24. Let's put that aside. Luke 24, 25. Glory to God. When you are pacing the floor, Danley, when you are pacing the floor, there will be an atmosphere of power, tremendous power, that will be evidenced by supernatural utterance. You'll be transported to a different place where you can live above every present and challenge. When you can see, a man that can see beyond temporal limitations is a powerful man. Because you are now where Jesus was, where he could look at them and tell them, after Peter spoke to Jesus and said, "You are Christ, Son of living God. I say also unto you, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I will give you the keys." And after I began to tell them, "The Son of Man will be taken by wicked men. I want to assure you one thing, on the third day I will rise again." Glory to God. That is the heritage of the believer. You stand before temporal limitations. You say, "You know what? I see a new day. I see the end from the beginning, and the end is glorious. I see me coming out. I don't see myself borrowing. I see myself lending to men. I see abundance of provision in my hands. I see me taking care of every necessary need." He saw the end from the beginning. "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I said it before it happened. I will see the end as I've said it." Glory to God. Oh, 2023 is glorious. It's a glorious year for me. It's a glorious year for me. I have abundance. I have surplus. In the name of Jesus, I have surplus. I lack no good thing. Provisions are bound to my account. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I begin to see trickles by December. I begin to see trickles and signs. I see the sign of the times, of the days coming. This December is a bumper harvest. It's full of good things everywhere I look. In the name of Jesus, I have more than enough. I abound unto every good work. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever the Spirit enables us to say, Jesus has made provision for. Don't forget that. Whatever the Spirit enables us to say, Jesus has made provision for. He has made provision for. Whatever the Spirit enables us to say, Jesus has made provision for. Because where he is where we are. He could speak the way he spoke because of where he is. Where was he? "The Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works." The Father that dwells in us now, he also does the works. That is how he's glorified. That we're using what he has done to accomplish his plans and purposes. First of all for us, and then for many of the lives that are around us. I refuse to be poor. I refuse to lag. I refuse to struggle. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be under situations. I'm above circumstances. I live above circumstances. I live beyond the economy of my nation. In the name of Jesus, abundance of resources comes my way. I am never stranded. I'm never forsaken. Everywhere I turn, help waits for me. The favor of God shines upon my life. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. That's how January to March will be. Hey, yeah. The first quarter, laughter. It's laughter. It's laughter. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Emmy Tapper. Something is coming your way that will change the game. The game is about to change. The game is about to change. Yeah, there's a game changer coming your way. There is a game changer coming your way. It changes the whole dynamics entirely. Same situation. All the factors will be rearranged. What will come out is beautiful ashes. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Many are in a cramped place. Many, 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 including this moment. Many. But you are moving to a large place now. You are moving to a large place now. He has made room for you. He has made room for you. Yeah, he has made room for you. He has made room for you. Glory to his name. The Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in this land. Shall be fruitful in this land. We shall be fruitful in this land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Pastor T, you know we are going to need resources. Plenty of them. But we are not covetous. We are not greedy. We are kingdom stewards. They come. Resources come. They come. They come. From the west, from the east, from the north, at home and abroad. Resources come. Resources come. In the name of Jesus. Resources come. Without fail. The channels are open. The doors are open. Resources come. Resources come. Resources come. Resources come. Contracts come. Jobs come. Opportunities come. Offers arise. Everywhere we turn. Everywhere we look. Resources come. In the name of Jesus. They say, why is it only you that gets the juiciest offers? Why is it only you that gets the best opportunities? Why is it only you that's giving the best businesses? Why is it only you? Juicy offers. Juicy offers. Best opportunities. Yeah. Only one complaint you will have. Too much work to do. Too much offers to process. Too much contracts to execute. Something is written at the door of your home. You are a righteous man. Abundance lives here. Prosperity lives here. Increase lives here. Favor lives here. Men, we associate with you differently because of the mark of God that will be upon you. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lift your hands and give him thanks. Give him thanks. Sing a new song of appreciation to him. Thank him. In his name. In his name. The clouds. The clouds have dissipated. It's a morning, a new day. We see a new day. We see a new day. The Father is walking. The Son is walking. Even in and through us. The Father is walking. The Son is walking. Even in and through us. We see a new day. It will be different. The work will be different. The days will be different. The expenses will be different. It's a new day for us. Thank you, Father.